It's called Forget the Former Things. Recently, I was sorting through the letters we'd received at Christmas time. For me, that's one of the social joys of the Christmas season, catching up with lifelong friends from around the world, people I was at university with in England or Scotland, who are now living literally on all the continents of the world apart from Antarctica. And one of the letters that I was looking at was from Karen, my sister-in-law in England. She was married to Gerald, Angela's older brother, whom we sadly lost over 14 years ago. I always look forward to Karen's letters. As befits an English teacher, she writes a superb letter, often humorous and always stimulating. And so she began her letter looking back on 2025. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. And so I was taken to Isaiah 43 and the passage that Matt read, and those verses 14 to 21. Let me give you the background to that passage. Babylon had conquered Judea. Jerusalem was destroyed, and all but the poorest people had been taken into exile. And they'd been in exile for more than 50 years. Now, chapters 40 to 55 of Isaiah were written to encourage and challenge the exiled community. They recognize that their situation stems from the fully deserved judgment of God. But the focus now is on salvation and in particular deliverance from the exile. God, their great God, is going to act, and they must prepare to make the long journey home and be ready to serve God there. Chapter 43 contains some great statements of encouragement, and I want to look at a couple. But first, a long quote from an article that a colleague wrote and I read during the week. Quote, "The word uncertainty is much in the news these days. A recent newspaper survey reveals uncertainty over war and peace, economic performance, the rule of international law, the future of the Prime Minister, the reach of AI, and the prospects of more than one premiership manager." In October of last year, Kristalina Georgieva, head of the IMF, captured the prevailing mood with a warning, "Buckle up, uncertainty is the new normal." But is uncertainty the new normal, or is a greater awareness of uncertainty the new normal? I came across an account recently declassified of how in 1983, amidst escalating Cold War tensions, the Soviet Union armed 100 aircraft with nuclear bombs and had them combat ready on the runway to launch nuclear strikes across Western Europe. I was 10 years old at the time, goes on my colleague, oblivious to the fact that the world almost ended before I'd made it out of primary school. Writing in 1939, shortly after the outbreak of World War II, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Life has never been normal." His observation was that even those periods which we think most tranquil, like the 19th century, turn out on closer inspection to be full of crises, alarms, difficulties, emergencies. Lewis argued that moments of tangible uncertainty and existential crisis actually do a service to those holding naive assumptions about what life should be like, noting, "We are disillusioned and not a moment too soon." If uncertainty is the progenitor of disillusionment, Where does that position a society buckling up for a new normal of uncertainty? End of quote. And then 2 weeks ago, the Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney went further and called this moment a great rupture. He reckoned the previous rules-based order has been abandoned. Might has replaced right. Middle nations have to do what they can, and the weak what they must. With all the uncertainties, we could be tempted to forget what's going on in the rest of the world, to focus only on what's happening in our own wee corner, and certainly to turn off the news when it comes on. But friends, as disciples of Jesus, we don't have that luxury. I mentioned encouragements. Let's look at a couple. First, verses 14 and 15 of Isaiah 43. These verses affirm that the enemy that had brought them into exile and held them there was not invincible. It's the first time that Babylon has been mentioned in Isaiah. Babylon the absolute. Babylon that had previously swept all before it. Who could possibly stand up before it, no matter conquer it? But in these two verses, 14 and 15, Babylon is framed and diminished by the greater reality of the God of Israel. In these verses, he is called the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Creator, your King. And giving him all these titles, the people are powerfully reminded of all they know about God and his commitment to them. And then there is a specific promise that shows Babylon as fugitives when Cyrus comes. Cyrus, the Persian king, who will come and overcome the Babylonians. And we only have to read two chapters further on, chapter 45, to see that happening. For he was sent by the Lord. And it tells us that God's people need to remind ourselves day and daily that what we know about the Lord is vitally important. We may look at kingdoms in our world and think, who can stand against them? They seem to be all conquering. And yet, as you look back through history, you will see similar kingdoms that fail. And which is the only one that will survive? The kingdom of God. The Lord God is the Redeemer. He is the one who will overcome all that is evil. He has overcome all that is evil. And he is the one who could come back any day. And we do need to be ready. That is the first encouragement. And the second is in verses 16 to 21. The Lord reminds these exiles about what he has done in the past, namely how he has delivered them out of Egypt when the people were brought through the Red Sea and the chariots of their enemy, the Egyptians, were stuck in the seabed and they perished. That is the former things. But now the Lord is going to do a new thing, so that in a sense the former things can be forgotten. For they're about to go home. They're about to go back to Jerusalem. Wherever that would be, unknown territory for those who were young and fit enough to travel. For they, after all, had been born in Babylon. And yes, it would be a long journey. Anything between 500 and 900 miles, depending on the route taken. Maybe 4 months travel over harsh terrain. They'd face hardship and danger. They'd be vulnerable to robbers and wild animals. And when they arrive, it will be to a devastating land needing a lot of work. Think Gaza of recent pictures. But the Lord will make a way, providing water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, and keeping the wild animals in their place. They were not to think back in the idealized past, but to look forward to what God was going to do. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Friends, how easy it is for our past to become an idealized world into which we retreat when the future, or even the present, becomes too frightening to face. Or it can be a springboard from which we launch ourselves into the future with new strength. And at the beginning of this second month of this year, none of us know what the rest of the year holds for us. But who is the one who calls us forward? Who is the one who calls us not to live in the past, but to embrace the future, not in our strength, however that is? Let us remind ourselves that he is our Redeemer in Jesus, who is the one who gave himself on the cross for us, who is the Holy One, who is our Creator, our King, who is the Lord of this world, who is the Lord of this universe. So when we are anxious, as I'm sure we are, when we are uncertain for ourselves, for our families, for our community, let us remember who is our God. and let us find comfort and encouragement, because comfort means comfort with strength, and let us allow him to give us that strength for each day, and sometimes for each hour as we go forward. Shall we pray together? O God, our Father, we give you thanks that as we face each day with its challenges and uncertainties, you, and sometimes you alone, are the one who gives us strength. Help us day and daily to trust you, to put our hands in your hands, and to know that you are the one who has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and in that strength to go forward, even just one step at a time. So may we know grace and mercy in time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.